You heard about the optician who fell into the lens grinding machine, made quite the spectacle of himself. An optician makes eyeglasses. They're called spectacles. Sheesh. A very wise man once said that it's always awkward, and that wise man was me. So it is always awkward, and I've been here, a year and a half, and by now I don't have a clue what I'm doing. So I'm kind of stepping out into this moment that I believe can be an experience of the kingdom. The sermon this morning was supposed to be from Luke chapter 17, the kingdom of God is among you. So the Pharisees come to Jesus and they say, where is it? Where is this kingdom you talk about? And Jesus says, well, you don't have to go over, they'll say it's over here or it's over there. And he said, you don't have to do that. It is in your presence. And so my hope is that that's what this turns out to be. But as I said, I don't have a clue some of the time how it's going to work. There's this awkward moment, and I realize that I've spent a good bit of my relational capital this week. We have that in every relationship we have. You build up capital or debt, by being nice or being mean, by doing favors or not doing favors, by being honest or being dishonest. And so you build up capital in relationships by being present, by caring, by being involved. I've spent a good bit of my capital this week. And so this morning I double down. I either go broke or we discover the kingdom among us. So you may have known that I had surgery Friday morning. I hadn't been feeling well for quite a while, and so I kind of kept thinking it was this or that. And so for the last couple of weeks, I had had some really painful indigestion. And, pain is kind of relative. It was painful to me. If you've had a baby or if you're a Louisville fan, it's probably not very painful. But it was painful to me. And so Melinda kind of suggested that I go to the doctor. So I went to the doctor Wednesday, and they did some tests. They did EKG to make sure it wasn't my heart, and they did an ultrasound and some blood work. And he called me back that afternoon and said, your gallbladder looks bad. It's inflamed, and you need to get that out as quick as possible. So he said, we're going to do it Friday. So I said, okay, what do? You go. And so Friday, they do that laparoscopically, which means they cut you several places. It's kind of like I went to get my belly button pierced and the guy was drunk, It's kind of like I got hose, all over my stomach. And he finally just gave up. So I guess I wasn't meant to have a belly button ring or something. But that's kind of what it looks like. And so it's kind of sore still from that. But they do that surgery, and you go in and they look around and they take it out. So I told everybody that after that surgery, I felt good, and I went home like I was supposed to, and that's all true. But when they went in there, they found more than they expected, more than barbecue potato chips and dark chocolate M&Ms. They found what you don't want to find. So as we say in Alabama, I have the cancer. What we know at this point is that there are places between my gallbladder and my liver that he biopsied while he was there. I still have my gallbladder, for what it's worth, which really hurts because I paid them up front, and I don't know if I get a refund on that or not. But so I still have that, but he biopsied the places, and he said, it definitely is that, but they don't know exactly what kind and all that stuff. So they sent that off, and I have an appointment on the 30th to go in and find out what the treatment and the prognosis is ahead. So as I was thinking about this morning, I thought, I can talk about the kingdom, or we can attempt to be the kingdom. Maybe I just want to be the center of attention, but I don't think so. I think it's an opportunity for us together to experience what it means to be the family of God, for the kingdom. To have those kingdom moments. And so my plan from here is that I face this as a really brave, wise, courageous Christian, and you're all impressed with my faith and my testimony. And I suck all the sympathy and attention and M&Ms out of it that I can. And then just before it gets inconvenient or painful, God and medical science heal me. That's my plan. But as we know, that's not usually how that works out. So this is the first time I've ever done this. So I'm figuring it out. And so for those of you who prayed and loved and thought of me this week, I apologize for not being more honest on Friday afternoon and yesterday, because we were sorting through that and talking to family and trying to get those people informed, and because we wanted everybody to know at the same time as much as we could, and then it snowed. So, but I only had to do it once this morning, so that works out too. And so I don't know what this looks like ahead. I really don't want it to be about me, but I want it to be about us and about what God does in our midst. And nothing that I have ever said changes. I'm not saying everything I've ever said was true, because I'm sure a lot of it was wrong when I said it before. But all those things that we believe about who God is and about his care for us and his presence in our lives are just as true today as they were on Thursday. And so when I think about, there are some truths that you've heard me say probably several times, probably more than you want to hear, this idea that, life is not a test. It is this adventure. And so this season of my life is not a test to see how well I do. It's the opportunity to experience and discover who God is in a new way, from a place that I have never been before, and to share that with the people who walk with me. Another one of my truths is life is hard. So, life is hard. So that does not change the fact that it is also very, very good, and that God's presence is very real and rich in our lives, and that it really does make a huge difference in who we are and what we become. And so these truths continue to be part of my life. And another one is that no matter what happens today, whether it's my fault or somebody else's fault or nobody's fault, there will be enough grace for whatever God asks of me today. There will always, always, always be enough grace for us to face what we have to face, to do what God asks us to do. I believe that that is true for all of us, no matter where we are or what our circumstances might be. And then I've talked the last couple of weeks about the idea of the difference between living a pleasant life and living a good life. Pleasant's pretty nice, I have those pleasant experiences, and those are pretty neat. We like those until we taste those good moments, until we taste those encounters and those conversations when life is good. Good in that sense that the kingdom is present, that we are part of what God is doing in our lives and in the people around us. Compared to those moments, then that pleasant is not so good. Really is not that you can't compare the two. We are called to live good lives. And that's what I want to do, is to live a good life, to be faithful to the God who loves me and cares for me, and to be part of what he's doing in our world. And so, people ask, well, what can we do? We want, let us know if there's anything we can do. What can you do? You can be real nice to me. you can, give me M&Ms. You can pray and just keep being who you are. What do I need? I need to be part of this family. I need to be in the place where I am. And I need you to do the same thing, just to be who we are. These moments don't make us. They reveal us. And so let's let God reveal who we are and what he wants to do in us in these moments. Melinda has the gift caregiving. She will take good care of me. I may need you to take her off my hands occasionally because she will take really good care of me if I let her. So we'll figure all that stuff out. But, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this, to tell you. And so this morning is an experiment to see what God wants to do with it. And I know, you know, there are a lot of other people who do the same thing. I'm not special. It's nothing unusual. But I just, it feels like the opportunity for us to discover this kingdom that we talk about. We want His kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, one of the ways that happens is we learn to live with people in difficult places. We face things we don't want to face, and we trust the God of grace to help us through those. And so, I told one of my sons, this is my trump card now. Anytime I don't want to do anything, anytime I want to do something, I just say, well, I've got cancer, so I can do what I want to. So this morning, I'm going to use my trump card, and we're going to celebrate communion this morning, but I'm going to serve, if it's okay. No, that's not, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to serve everybody. And so we'll just have one line, and because I just want to do that. And so if you'll do that for me, we're going to celebrate communion. Know what? Oh, yeah. Two other things you can do. One is you can say, roll tide and mean it. The other is you can tell me how great I am, whether you mean it or not. So I like affirmation in football. So either one of those works for me. Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to that. Okay. Why don't we, if you want to, we'll come on. Yeah. Okay. Okay. Whether they want to be or not.
Almighty God, our Father, we love you so much because you love us so much. And you've made this kingdom for us. And you've given us this place to come together, to be family, to have communion with each other and with you. And Father, this is our friend. And he's your son. He's your loving, caring person who watches over us so much, and we love him so much. We pray for your healing on him. We pray for peace in his life. We pray for strength. We pray for joy. And we pray, just, Father, that it'll be good.
Yes.
And Father, that you'll watch over him through all this, that you'll watch over all of us as we care together for him. And we pray that you'll be Melinda as she cares over him too,
yes.
Father, and all the boys. We just pray, Father, that you'll give us strength through this to know that your hand is in this,
yes.
And that you love us so much. Father, we thank you for the blessings you've given us.
Yes.
And we thank you for this time that we've had to be with together today. We
yes.
thank you, Father, for the bringing Wayne to us so that he can show his word upon us, Father, because he has given us so much hope and so much truth in what he says. And Father, we just pray that you keep watching over us. We pray this through your son's name. And everyone said,
amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Yeah, so we go back. We'll let you know as soon as we know something. We go to the doctor on the 30th, and we will, you know, find out. Of course, they'll do all kinds of tests and come up with a plan from there, and we'll keep you informed that way. John Seth, our middle son, who is really introverted, he said what we should do is just announce it on Facebook and then turn our phones off for 3 days. So that was an option, but I'm going to say this one time, and I won't say it again, I promise. but I'm sorry. I don't. Okay, I'm sorry. So we're going to celebrate communion, and I'm going to invite y'all to come.
See through my glasses, so just bear with me for a minute, okay? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed life into the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you have revealed yourself, our light, and our salvation. In his baptism and in table fellowship, he took his place with sinners. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever.
In the Methodist Church, we have an open table, so everyone is welcome to come. You don't have to be a member of this church or of any church, but if you come in faith, then you're welcome to come. Last week, I quoted a poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Said, "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round and pluck blackberries." In this moment, I see. And so I'm going to take off my shoes because this is a holy place and a holy moment. And I see in each of you God's presence, There are no common bushes here. All of us are in heaven.